This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning into our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
So good to have you all here this morning. Thank you for being here. Excited for everything that's going on. Excited for our youth coming back from camp. Anybody here go to youth camps when you were younger? Anybody go to church youth camp? Amen. How many know that things happen there that change your life for the better? So when your kids come back, encourage them. They're gonna. I saw videos of them worshiping God. I mean, they had a little Christian mosh pit going on. So when they come to church with you next Sunday, don't be all boring next to them. Mosh with them. They had a great time. They're on their way back safely, praying that they get here safely. The couple buses that went over there, so excited for them. Ladies, want to reiterate, so two things. That event we talked about next month is free, okay? It is free. If you want to sit in the front, there's a cost to that, but the event is free, so you don't have to pay. You just have to register, so we have a head count. Now, I was talking to my wife backstage, so we decided, her and I, we're actually going to donate a blue box with something in it, and we're going to raffle that. All right, so there you go. We'll throw that in there. Some will have chocolates, and some will have bling. All of a sudden, hey, sign-ups went up really quick. I knew that would work. Anything and whatever it takes to get you to connect with each other and connect with God. That's what it's about. So take advantage of that and everything else that's going on. Want to just also reiterate, we're having baptism class this week. So if you were not able to make it last week, this week we'll do baptism class again on Tuesday. Is that right, Pastor Ruben? 6:30? 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, Tuesday, right here. So if you or someone you know wants to learn more about baptism, what it's about, what it means, significance, importance of it, we'll have a class here on Tuesday, 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday, we're going to celebrate Baptism Sunday. So much looking forward to that. All right. We continue with our series on the book of James. How many have enjoyed James? Amen. Are you sure that's the word of God? You should enjoy it. How many have been challenged by something in the book of James? Oh, the rest of you are like saints. Well, let me tell you, today, if you haven't been challenged, welcome to today. We're going to talk about the tongue. Mm-hmm. Buckle in. Put your seatbelts on. It's going to be good, amongst other things. You know, there's certain things, certain topics in the Bible that whether you're a Christian or not, they're beneficial to you. This is one of those. If you're not even a Christian, it would help you to be reminded of the power of your words and the power of your tongue. That's a good thing regardless. But then for us that are Christian, even a higher standard and expectation for us to control our tongues and the actions and the things that we do. So that's the challenge of James, and pray that God would speak to our hearts today. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you're a gossiper. I'm not going to ask you if you're critical. I'm not going to ask you if you're mean with your words. I'm not going to ask you if you're a bully. You know who you are. I'm going to ask you to just be receptive. All of us are going to learn something. All of us are going to be challenged today. But I pray we're going to leave this place better than we came in. Amen? That's what the Bible, that's what the Word of God, that's when we engage with the Word of God. So here's what I want you to pray with me this morning. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And basically, the prayer will be along these lines. If there's anything in me that's offending you, if there's anything I do that is hurting others, then God, help me to see it and give me the strength to change it. Amen? Everyone here, okay? Because I already saw some of you. Well, I'm glad she came today. No, I'm talking to you. All of us, let's commit to leave today learning something, being challenged on something, and then making up our mind to improve on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your beautiful spirit in this place. Thank you for all that you're doing, God. You are an awesome God. You are a God that shows up when it really matters. Crunch time. You always come in clutch. Right when we need you. You're an awesome God. Help us to come in clutch for you. Help us to turn that around, and likewise, be dependable, trustworthy. Help us today to be challenged by your word. Help us to identify the areas of improvement. Help us to commit to change that us and everyone around us can be better. For all the wonderful things you will do, by faith in advance, we give you praise. We declare all of this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise one more time. God bless you all. You may be seated. So we're talking about the series in the book of James. And we said, you know, the purpose of the series, if, as you read the book of James, is just to provide practical guidance, practical, everyday, relatable, useful tips you can use in your everyday life, at work, at school, at home, in your relationships, so that we can actually live out our Christian faith. We've been talking about the fact that being a Christian is not a label. Being a Christian is not just a check-the-box exercise. Being a Christian is a lifestyle. Being a Christian is not just a belief system. It's an action system. It's what we do. And so as we go through that, we're also praying that through this study of the book of James, we can obtain wisdom and then the wisdom to endure difficult times, because difficult times will continue to prop up in life. It's unavoidable. And the issue is, how do you deal with those difficult times? We talked about the importance of appreciating the power of belonging and connecting. Everybody say connecting to a vibrant Christian community. Life is hard. Life is hard. And in certain segments of our life, it's harder. And you don't want to go through those hard moments alone. You don't want to go through those difficult times trying to figure out what to do. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of collective wisdom in this room that you can draw from in order to make better choices as you go forward. Draw on the collective wisdom of the church for that. And then lastly, and this is really the crux of the book of James, is to challenge all of us to live what I've been calling a completely integrated life, where what we believe, how we see the world, our Christian identity is integrated, not separate from, but integrated, so that our actions and behaviors are completely consistent with our values and beliefs as Christians. It is in that disconnect that we get in trouble. Sometimes our lives, you know, when our lives are congruent, they flow together. When our life is inconsistent and sometimes contradictory, it creates all kinds of trouble. And so the book of James is really challenging us to say, look, I know you believe in God. If you believe in God, say amen. Amen. Now, God has certain principles, amen? And God provides certain ways of living our lives, amen? So we believe in God, and God says, this is how you live life. When your belief in God and the way you're living your life do not align, your life is going to be chaotic. Your life is going to be bumpy. And so the book of James is saying, okay, you believe, awesome. Now, let your actions match your beliefs. And when you are in agreement, then your life will flow better. There will be ups, there will be downs, but you'll be together. And it's that integration that is often lacking in our lives. All of us have met people that call themselves Christians but do very unchristian things. Amen? And some of them was us. How many can say amen for yourself? Anybody here been inconsistent as a Christian? It's Sunday morning. Don't lie. You're at church. Like, you knew the right thing, but you still did. Anybody ever knew the right thing and did the wrong thing anyway? Oh, you almost seem happy about that. And you know, the Apostle Paul wrestled with this. The Apostle Paul says, you know, like I want to do good, but I do wrong. And when I say I'm no longer going to do wrong, I still do it. And he's like, what a miserable way to live. It is. And this is what James is designed to do, to help us pick a side, if you would. You're going to be a Christian? Then live a certain way. You don't want to live a certain way? Stop calling yourself a Christian. You're not. It's not a title. It's a lifestyle. Does that make sense? So that's James in a nutshell. Now, one of those things deals with our words. James 1, verse 19 and 1:26 say this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Who's he talking to? Church people. You must all be quick to listen. You notice that? Slow to speak. and slow to get angry. I could stop the sermon right here. That's enough. That's hard, ain't it? Quick to listen. Listen not just to fight back. Listen not just to disprove or to criticize, but listen to understand. All the men say amen. You do hear. Okay, good. Now, I'm telling you guys, in relationships with our spouses, we need to learn. We need to learn to be quick to listen, to be attentive, to be all in, to be present in the conversation. Now, all the wives say amen. You also got to know when to ask a question. Bases loaded, 3-2, game tied, ninth inning, not the time. And sometimes it's the opposite. I've been caught in that. Sunday morning, got a question. She's like, not now. Trying to make sure everything is where it needs to be. I'm like, okay, give you time. Give you space. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Everybody say slow to speak. Say it slowly. Hard, isn't it? And it doesn't mean to do it slowly. What it means is carefully choose your words. That's what it means. Don't just stand. Anybody wish you could have a rewind button on your tongue? Like, take it back. How many of you, like, are fast to speak? Come on. Who are the quick ones? Ooh, and you're married to each other. Oh, that's fun. Like, quick. Don't take the time to really think it through, process, think about implications. If I say this, then he'll say that. And if he says that, I'm going to say this. And then if he goes there, I'm going to go here. How many war plan? Anybody war plan here? Oh, boy. We might have to make this a three-part series. Look, we're all rigged to win for ourselves. When it comes to arguments, discussions, man, we're thinking three, like, you know what? You want to argue with me and you're playing checkers? I'm playing chess. I'm three moves in front. So a lot of us are good at that. So here's the advice from the world. Be quick to listen, like be present, actually listen to understand. Be slow to speak, which means pause, think, reflect, analyze, weigh it. How many know, any of you ever had those awesomely proud moments where you had the knockout punch and you hung on to it? Right? It's like, Carefully choose our words. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Slow to get angry. Some of us have a short fuse. You got to be slow to get angry. Look at verse 26. This is really bringing it home for us as Christians. If you claim to be religious, the word religious here in the original Greek means to be ceremonious in worship. You're devoted. You're a God-fearing person. So you go to church. You know, you're a Christian. You got the label. If you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion, all the things you do, become. That's how powerful the tongue is. That's the power of our tongue. So if we claim to be religious, and I don't mean by that just on the surface. I mean, religious means you're doing the things, right? You're ceremonious, you're devoted, you show up, you're serving on the dream team, you're involved in a connect group, you're doing all the things, you're doing all the right things. But if we fail to control our tongue, then it almost, those words have the power to negate the effectiveness of all the work. Isn't it amazing how words can completely destroy the works? Now, faith without works is, that's part of what we've learned, right? Faith without works is dead. But works with an uncontrolled tongue are also dead and worthless. So it makes you understand how valuable words are. Now, this is particularly hard for some of us. And I would tell you, if I can be completely transparent with you, this is hard for me. Because I have a mouth. I learned early on that I had the ability to say things in a way that could hurt people. I was that kid in elementary school that could make any kid cry. I had the tongue. I could say it. I would look at you, I would find the flaw, and I would come in like a missile. And I was relentless. And I had this gift where I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I could string the insults together till you cried. I was that kid. As a teenager, I used that gift to have fun, oftentimes at the expense of others. And it took God, it took the Holy Spirit of God to convict me and say, I gave you a gift, but you're misusing it. I give you the ability to think fast, articulate words, add meaning and significance and substance to what you're saying, but I want you to use it for good as opposed to using it for evil. And at one point, God convicted me about that. And so now, I'm trying to use that ability for good. But don't look at Pastor Sam, oh, he's so perfect. Oh, no, it's a challenge. This is a challenge. Because to this day, wouldn't take long to get me back. And I could be bam, bam, bam. I could be crude and harsh fast. It's a battle. I got to keep myself in check. So I'm not coming to you saying, like, come on, people, be nice. No, I know how hard it is. Because even now, you're seeing the sermon. You're like, oh, he's got it all written down. No, what I have is what you see. I just want to know what's ahead. That's all I use this for. Nothing's written. Nothing's outlined. What you see on screen is what I see. I have no jokes. I have no illustrations. I have nothing. I show up here trusting and relying on God to give me something to share with you to add to this. So, it's like, wow, what a wonderful gift. What's how you use it? For many years, I used it to be mean. And I super feel bad about that. Thank God, God forgave me. Some people maybe didn't. But God did. And I'm trying to make up for it. So all of us have a choice as to how we use our words. Your words can destroy or your words can heal. That's the power of words. The Bible says that life is in the power of the tongue. Like with our words, you can build up. With your words, you can tear down. And part of the choice we have to make is how are we going to use our words? So if you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself because you're not fooling God. That's really what it means. And your religion, all the things you do that you think impress God, get erased off the page because we don't control our tongue. And controlling our tongue in this context really refers to things like controlling our tongue from lying, from demeaning, from cursing, from slander, from gossip, from bragging, from criticizing. You notice that et cetera? If your sin's not there, it's in the et cetera. You're like, oh, whew, he's not there now. That's the power of words. Words are powerful. Goes on to say, let me jump to James chapter 3. So this comes up in James 1. James 3 comes back to it. Like, ooh, I got more. And I just love the wisdom and the honesty about this. James 3 says, "For we all stumble in many ways." Amen? "If anyone does not stumble in what he says," let's focus on that. If you don't stumble on what you say, "he is mature, able also to control the whole body." This little thing has the ability to control the rest. Notice what it says. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Isn't that the truth? And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the captain chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. The little rudder controls the whole ship. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. That's what happens when we don't control our tongue. It catches fire. It literally catches fire. When you and I don't control our tongue, it literally catches fire. And it's not Holy Ghost fire. It is hell fire. And then from there, all the old people say amen. Remember the old Godzilla movies? Oh, I grew up watching those. Those are so cool. I know they've made them new again, but no, the original's all cool. When the people are talking and they stop talking, but their lips are still moving and all that, it was fun. But remember Godzilla used to rear back? And what came out of his mouth? And then the sound was the best. Just fire. Fire. Some of us can be like Godzilla. Anybody ever had Godzilla moments? I don't mean breath. I mean words. Words of fire. Anybody had like words of fire? Like you, like woo. And I want you to understand, this is the Bible. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. When we get into ugly arguments, guess who's involved in that? But when we start tearing each other down, well, you're this, fire. Guess where that fire is coming from? That is not from God. Amen? Oh, I love James. So the next time, because I know somebody always, it's not you, they started. The next time they start it, be slow to speak. And if you have to engage, sometimes you have to say something, make sure your tongue doesn't catch hellfire. Like, where else in the world except church are you going to get this? Right? I'm telling you, this is important. And it burns up your life. Like, it can destroy things when we don't control it. Goes on to say, there's more. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Boy, we're going from fire to poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives Would a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Verse 10 really caught my attention as I was going through this. Blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. That's not right. You are always, always, always on time. And right after in the parking lot, that's not right. It happened at church to me a few years ago. There was a lady that came from another church. She was a Christian. And she wanted to talk to me after church. And for some reason, she felt compelled to tell me all the amazing things she does for the kingdom of God. I'd never met her. Like, oh, I do this, and I do this at this other church. I don't know if she was looking for a title or a position. We don't give those away anyway. But anyway, she was trying to impress me somehow with her works. And I've been a president of this and in charge of that, and I did this. And I was like, wow, that's awesome, great, yay. And she had a little kid, like probably like a five-year-old son. And as she's going through her impressive resume, the kid kept pulling at her skirt. And she was like trying to like, and she's like, oh, and I've done this, and I've been in charge of this, and I led this. And I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome, great, good job, it's great. And the kid's relentless. And at one point she's like, stop doing it! Rah, rah. She burnt the kid up. And then she's like, so I was saying that the Lord's used me. I'm like, yeah, he did. He's like, that was not the Lord. Like all the stuff you did got burnt by your Godzilla moment on your own kid. And that's verse 10. You can't, with the same mouth that you praise God, curse people that were made in his image. Some of us have a cursing problem. It just slips out so naturally. You can conjugate in every tense. So the challenge for you ought to be as easy and as natural as that cursing flows, pray that your worship may flow the same way, in a way that that worship consumes that cursing. Amen? So this is the challenge of James. It's how you act. It's how you talk. It's how you treat others. It's how you use your words to build up, not to tear down. To encourage, not to destroy. That's a choice all of us can make. And that's the message for all of us. Well, enough about that. Let me switch. Got it? Make sense? Let me take you to a couple more topics. Oof. Okay. Now, so that's the tongue. Careful with that. Be thoughtful, be slow to speak, understand when we begin to tear each other down with our tongue, there's fire there and it's not from God. So do not participate in that. Watch yourself. Pray about that. Let's get better at that. Amen? Now, different topic, but same in the same vein of acting in accordance with our beliefs. James 5. Let me just touch on this one topic really quick. It says, look here. You rich people. All the rich people say amen. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Hold on before you start judging. Your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver and Tiffany bling are corroded. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. Because you're rich? It's not about being rich. It's about how you get rich. Verse 4. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. So this is not an indictment against wealth. It's an indictment against getting wealthy the wrong way. This is really about taking advantage of others. And I want to encourage us to be careful not to take advantage of others in pursuit of our own dreams and goals. Amen? Don't take advantage of people. The Bible says that the blessings of the Lord make a person rich and he adds no sorrow with it. How do you know if God's blessing you as opposed to something else? Is there sorrow with your wealth? Are you always looking over your shoulder? Did you have to backstab and lie to get to where you're at? And there's no peace in your heart? You did it the wrong way. Careful. Do it the right way. Praise God. Be a blessing. It's all good. Be careful how you get there. So the warning here is getting rich. And I underline rich, or I put it in quotes, because rich could be in, it's not just material things. It could be in a bunch of other categories. The real message is don't take advantage of people for your own benefit. Amen? So good warning for all of us to be mindful of. That's why I like James. It's just wisdom. Different pockets. Let me switch. James 1, 27. Pure and unblemished religion. And again, we say religion here is expressed in outward acts. In the sight of our God and Father is this. To visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress. And to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular or sinful world. So it makes the point there's true religion and there's false religion. True religion, false religion. False religion is just words. False religion is just acts not followed by a heart that's aligned with God. True religion involves looking after, which means taking care of and helping the less fortunate. That's something that we need to get better at. True religion involves love and empathy and a heart that wants to bless other people. That's part of true religion. And in order to get there consistently, all of us need to work hard at avoiding contamination from the world. Y'all remember COVID? And how thoughtful, careful, scared some of us were to not get contaminated. I once got on a plane, once they allowed flights again, and I saw this guy. I don't know how many masks he had. He had like 3 different masks and goggles, and you know, like, I'm like, dude, just bubble wrap yourself or stay home. Like, I don't want to get contaminated. And there's a level of care that we need to exercise in order to avoid getting contaminated. A lot of us have friends that are not Christians. They're not saved. They live lives that are very different from the kind of life we're asked by God to live. And it's good to have friends like that because it you might be the only Christian friend they have. So you're there to help them come to Christ. But you got to be careful that they're not pulling you back to where you came from. Amen. So you gotta create some protocols to keep yourself from getting contaminated by the things they do, the things they believe, the things they practice. You gotta create some barrier in order to ensure that that doesn't come your way. So avoid contamination from the world. That requires intentionality. That requires discipline. That requires us taking the time, the effort to ensure that we're not going to contaminate anybody. I remember when before my mom passed away, and all of this happened during the COVID, the aftermath, or the latter end of COVID, in her last couple of months, she was in a nursing home here close by, but only one person could visit her out of our huge family, so I was the designated one. And pretty much every other day, I'd have to go see her, but I needed to take a COVID test every single time. They would not allow me in the facility without having a negative test before I could walk into the facility to see her. And so I got tested more than most people I know. Because in order for me to see my mom, they wanted to protect her from contamination from the outside. And so they had all these protocols in place so that she wouldn't get contaminated. So we understand the concept. Question I have for you is, what protocols do you have in place to ensure you don't get contaminated by the people around you that are doing and living their life in ways that are incompatible with the way God wants you to live your life? What do you have in place? What steps are you creating? This is important. And I'll finish with this. Because when it comes to being a Christian, the book of James kind of makes it pretty clear that being a Christian is really about doing the right things. I mean, did we get the message already from James? Being a Christian is really about doing the right things. That's what it comes down to. So enough of the wrong things. Let me give you some good things we all can do. James 5, so come to a close. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. That's a good thing to do. Are any of you happy? Anybody happy? You should sing praises.
I'm happy.
No. You're happy, sing praises. We just had 25 minutes of praise time. And some of you that were happy would have a hard time convincing God you were. So next time you come to church, if you're happy, praise. Amen? Those are good things to do. You're going through a difficult time, going through some hardships, pray. That's the right thing to do. Are any of you sick? If so, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Speaking of, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know where verse 16 comes into play in real life? Connect groups. Connect groups. Verse 16. And it's not like you're going to a connect group to confess and spill the tea on everybody. But it's a safe place where people that love you, care for you. You begin to build relationships and friendships and trust and confidence. And in the context of connect group, in the context of Celebrate Recovery, in the context of all these different ministries, say, hey guys, I'm struggling. I'm going through it right now. I need your prayer, man. I did this or this happened and I don't know what to do. Man, let's pray. Let's help you out. That's connect groups. So verse 16, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Who's a righteous person? A person that does the right thing for the right reasons. That's it. Do the right thing for the right reason. The earnest prayer, heartfelt, sincere. Nothing obstructs it. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Folks, one of our life goals, for all of us in this life should be to live the kind of life in a consistent, integrated way so that when you and I pray earnestly, there's power in that prayer. And that prayer produces results. Said differently, the opposite is likewise true. If your prayer is not powerful, if your prayer is weak, and if your prayer is not producing results, then maybe it's pointing to the fact that something's missing. There's inconsistencies, there's incongruencies in how we're living our lives. Let's get aligned. Let's get aligned. Let's do the right things. Let's honor God. Let's live it out. And as we do that, as we begin to live in righteousness, power comes in. Results come in. The blessing begins to flow. So I want to encourage all of us, stop doing some of the wrong things. Start doing more of the right things.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.